Nearly 20 years ago, I can hardly believe it's been that long, but nearly 20 years ago, I left the United States Army after 10 going on 11 years of service. That service included combat support for Operation Just Cause in Panama in 1989 and 90, and then combat service in Operations Desert Shield and Desert Storm in 1990 and 91. Except for some time and various training opportunities, nearly all of my stateside time in the Army was spent at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, jumping out of airplanes and such. First as an enlisted soldier with the 5th Special Forces Group, and then later as a commissioned officer with various units of the 18th Airborne Corps, most notably the 82nd Airborne Division and the 101st Airborne Division in Desert Shield and Storm. While I was in the Army, and especially among my responsibilities as an officer, I learned to plan according to something we called the backward planning sequence. Sounds ominous, doesn't it? Cue spooky music. The backward planning sequence. Well, it is a little scary, honestly, because if it's done properly, it really brings into the light all of the many, many things that have to happen in sequence and on time to pull off whatever the mission is, whether during peacetime at Fort Bragg or in a combat action. In a nutshell, the backward planning sequence begins with an event or action that will come in the future and plans backwards from the event all the way back to the present time, noting all along the way all that will be necessary for the event to happen successfully. Fuel for vehicles, for example. Maps to know where to go. Now we have GPS, but go with me. Maps to know where to go. Food for the troops, for another example. Parachutes and airplanes. But here's the thing. Good planning, according to the backwards planning sequence, doesn't start with the successful beginning of the event or the action that we're going to take. Good planning begins with the successful ending of the event or action. You see, the goal is not to begin successfully. Anyone can do that. The goal is to end successfully. And that's what we're trying to do in this series of messages. God raised Jesus from the dead, so what? We're looking through the implications and the potential outcomes of Jesus' resurrection, but we're doing so from the ultimate end, that is, into eternity future, and back to our lives today. So last week, we looked at a stunning vision of our eternity future from Revelation 21, where we saw the incredible future scene, both for believers and the scene for unbelievers, which was more terrifying than stunning. This week, today, briefly, we're looking a bit closer to our time today, though we don't know how much closer it is in time from the events in Revelation 21 to the events in Revelation chapter 5. But we're still in heaven in the text. Follow along with me as I read the whole chapter, Revelation chapter 5, and then make just a few applications of God's truth for us this morning. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the world. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding seven bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. God our Father, in the few minutes we have remaining, I pray that by your word and your spirit, you would open our minds and our hearts to this reality. It's not a dream. It's not a delusion. To this reality that is going on around your throne right now. And by that I mean the worship. Of course, the Lamb taking the scroll is into the future, it seems. But this worship is going on around your throne right now. And help us, enable us, receive us into this worshiping throng. Allow us to join in. In Jesus' name, amen. We could easily spend 15 hours on Revelation 4 and 5, but we don't have 15 hours instead. As I mentioned, I have about 15 minutes, and I've already taken half of them. So let's get to it. The title of our brief meditation this morning is What Could Be, What Will Be, What Is. And again, we'll be looking from the end to the beginning of this statement of reality. In other words, in Revelation 4 and 5, Jeremy read 4 earlier in our service, and I just read chapter 5, we're looking literally at three different scenes at the same time. We're looking at what is right now going on around God's throne. Did you hear that? That worship is going on forever, continually, around God's throne in heaven. We're also looking at what will be going on around God's throne at some point in eternity future. These events, specifically the Lamb taking the scroll, opening it with the seven seals. And finally, we're looking at what could be going on around God's throne for you and for me and for all those who believe. So as we begin this morning, we come to the very important question, will you, will I, will we be there in heaven around God's throne? I know that it said every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and even on the sea. And there is a sense in which every person, whether we've believed or not, will witness these scenes, but one group of people will be from afar witnessing them, and not happily, but regretfully. And another group of people will be entering into that throng of worship for the rest of eternity. Where will we be? What could be? In order to get there, we must see from this scene in Holy Scripture and believe that, first of all, God's throne and heaven are real. And we cannot get to him or get to there on our own. We are in desperate need of help. We see that if you look with me just one verse back in chapter 4. This is what's going on there around. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will we were created and have their being, our being. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven, or no one on earth, or no one under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Hear the silence of heaven when no one stepped forward but one. Friends, God and heaven are real. His throne is there. Worship going on around it every day, all day, continually and forever, right now. And we cannot get to him or get to there on our own. We are in desperate need of help. There's a second thing from this passage that I think we could and should take. And it's this: every human being who stands in God's holy presence, every single one, will do so because of and only because of the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for them, and there is no other way. Verse 5 and following. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. I said the world earlier, it should be earth. Into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Pause there. Note that. We'll come to it in our last point. And they sang a new song. You, speaking to the Lamb, appearing as if it had been slain. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Let me just note here, either this is true or Christianity is false. And either this is true and all other, quote-unquote, ways to God are false, or we're still in our sins. In every possible way, logically, theologically, it makes no sense for Jesus to go to the cross for this truth to occur. With your blood, you purchased men from God for every tribe and language and people and nation, and there be even one other way. You see, every human being who stands in God's holy presence will do so because of the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for them, and there is no other way. Question: does this include you? Does this include me? Will we be there on that day? There's a third thing we can take from this passage, and we're moving quickly, because of God's grace. That's the most important thing in this statement. Nothing after it happens without God's grace. Because of God's grace, hearing and responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ in repentance, faith, and humble obedience. Because of God's grace, hearing and responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ secures a sure place among that heavenly throng for everyone who believes. Verses 11 through 14 in chapter 5. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Verse 13. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Every single creature. Because of God's grace. Finally, number four, and this is fitting for our occasion here this morning. I don't want us to miss this. It comes from verse 8. We'll return there briefly in just a moment. Here it is. It is to this throne, described here, pictured here in Revelation 4, as Jeremy read, and 5, as I am reading, that all of our prayers are heard and received and acted upon by the one true and living God, who has already acted on our behalf decisively and eternally in Jesus. Look there again at verse 8. And when he, that is the Lamb who appeared as if slain, because he had been slain. And when he had taken it, the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Friends, our prayers offered in faith by the blood of Jesus are coming before God's throne as if incense before him in his nostrils. The God who sits on this throne and the Lamb who appears in the center of this throne are who we are offering our prayers to this morning. And when we do, we can do so with confidence that he hears us. He responds to us, and he acts on our behalf, not according to our will and wisdom, but according to his infinite wisdom and almighty will. What could be, what will be, what is? Let's pray together. God, our Father, we come before you unworthy. It's only by your grace, your mercy, your love, the blood of Jesus, that we have any standing before you. And yet we will stand before you because of your grace and your love and your mercy, extended to us by the shed blood of Jesus and the power of the resurrection. Help us to live in this life today on the earth with a persevering faith and an unhindered hope that the God we read about here in these two chapters is the God who is acting on our behalf and in fact has acted on our behalf, and he is the one with whom we commune. I pray that as we take this communion, that it will also be an expression of worship to you. And that we will take each of these elements with reverence and gratitude for the God who came and the God who died and the God who rose again. In the name of this God, Jesus Christ, I pray.